The conversation continues. 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600.
Well, joining us right now is Melissa Kane, who has a very impressive bio. She started out as a journalist. She went into PR. She's also been in private enterprise in her own business. And she is currently the third selectman of Westport. But she is also right now the chairman of the Board of Connecticut Against Gun Violence, CAGV. She's a member of the boards of NARAL Pro-Choice Connecticut, the Democratic Women of Westport, a lot of other non-for-profits to which she's contributed her talent and her time. And she joins us now specifically to talk about this Connecticut Against Gun Violence meeting, effort, Zoom. Melissa Kane, hi. Welcome back to the show today.
Hello,
good morning.
Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you
morning.
So much for having me. It's nice to talk to you.
It's wonderful to talk to you. So what are we doing? What did I miss? Was it last night? Am I once again behind the eight ball? I thought it was coming up.
You're not behind the eight ball. You're 100% right. Thursday, October 1st is not a nationwide event, although we would love for people all over the country to tune in, but it is our Connecticut Against Gun Violence, CAGV, Virtual Policy Forum. And it came out of our policy luncheon, which we have every year. And for a little bit of background, we get together every year, typically in Hartford, to talk about issues that are pretty much directly related to what our legislative priorities are for the next legislative session. So this policy forum, the title of it is Racial Justice Demands an End to Gun Violence, Addressing the Public Health Crisis of Community Gun Violence. And again, it's this coming Thursday, October 1st at 7 p.m., 7 to 8:30 p.m. So from the title, you can tell that something that has a focus of ours, and it actually was a focus of ours before COVID, at the last regular legislative session, which started last February, our focus, one of our focuses, our priorities, was on creating a permanent commission, which is now called a Connecticut Initiative to Prevent Community Gun Violence. And I would be happy to talk to you about that. But that's really what corresponds, and that is our focus. And basically, the premise is racial justice just cannot be achieved if people aren't safe in the communities where they live.
You know, last night, in the last 24 hours, I saw we had two shootings in, not just shootings, fatalities in Bridgeport, one in Black Rock, which is shaking the community there, where I saw on TV someone said, this is Black Rock, this isn't supposed to happen here. And I thought to myself, well, this is a white woman. Actually, she might have been Hispanic or white, whatever she was. And she was basically saying, I thought I lived in a safe part even of Bridgeport, and now I don't feel safe anymore. If people don't feel safe, they can't do anything, right? That's the basic threshold.
That's exactly right.
But on the other hand, the country is up in arms about Breonna Taylor and what happened there. And how does that intersect for people with Connecticut Against Gun Violence and racism? Through that lens, what are some of the policy initiatives that you think will make Connecticut a better, equitable, better, safer place to live?
Sure. That's a great question. Well, look, Black Americans are 10 times more likely than white Americans to die by gun violence and 14 times more likely than white Americans to be injured in a gun assault. And in Connecticut, it's a very similar story, echoing the national story. Victims of gun violence are disproportionately people of color. So while only 10% of the state's population is Black, approximately 56% of the state's gun homicide victims are Black. And while approximately 14% of Connecticut's population is Latinx, Latinx accounts for approximately 23% of gun homicide victims. So, look, and I'll one other statistic.
Melissa, let me ask you something.
But this
wait,
is what we're focusing
wait, Melissa,
on.
Melissa. Melissa, let me ask you something. It's very important to focus on the victims. I think it's key. But who are the perpetrators? Are the perpetrators people of color as well?
The communities that are experiencing gun violence are communities that are victims of gun violence themselves and are looking for ways to stop killing. So there are perpetual cycles of violence in communities. And it really comes out of a sort of a perfect storm of access to firearms, culture, cycles of poverty, really root causes that we need to start addressing, not just by legislation. So to that point, we really believe that in creating a commission, a Connecticut initiative to prevent community gun violence, that would be tasked with identifying funding and implementing and overseeing evidence-based but community-centric programs and strategies that would reduce gun violence in these communities of color, that's where we can be successful in addressing violence in within, you know, at the community level within these communities. So in other words, look, we really want to get the help to and work with the organizations that are already on the ground in communities making a difference. And where there is evidence-based proof that the type of work they are doing is working, and really make sure, right? So part of the initiative would be that we'd create an advisory council to provide strategic guidance and accountability and ensure that the sort of the legislative and executive and community stakeholders all have a voice in operating an initiative where we really are focused at the community level, right down there in the community with the people, with the gun, you know, with the violence interrupters working on the streets, with the hospital organizations. There are so many pieces to the puzzle. We want to get all the same. We want to get all the stakeholders in the right room, in one room together. So it's law enforcement. So it is hospital violence interruption programs. So it is violence interruption programs on the ground in communities, working with people, working with people who have already experienced gun violence and working to defer preventative advocates, defer violence, and putting them together and making sure that the right organizations and the right programs are getting the funding to deal exactly with that, with where the violence starts and getting at the root of it and trying to interrupt it.
So what do we know, Melissa Kane? You've studied this for a while. This has been your passion. What does some of the evidence show that works? In other words, is it the prison reform faith-based initiatives? Is it local church groups? Yeah. Is it boys clubs? In other words, does work? What works?
Well, I'll tell you what. One of our speakers at our upcoming policy forum, which is this coming Thursday, October 1st at 7 p.m., and you can go to cagv.org under events to go. And you do have to purchase a ticket, but it's $10. It's a $10 donation to come and really get into the weeds and learn about this subject. But I'll tell you, one of the things that is working, an example of a program that's working, is called Project Longevity. And it's a group violence intervention model. And it's really been credited with sharp reductions in group-involved violence. It was launched by a man named Charlie Grady. He actually grew up in New Haven, and he is a specialist with the FBI's Community Outreach Program in Connecticut. And he led Bridgeport's implementation. I shouldn't say he started, but he led Bridgeport's implementation of Project Longevity. But he also launched something called Hang Time, and that's another grassroots effort, and it's to foster community among, as you said, ex-offenders. Right. So they didn't have a voice. And Hang Time has had great success working to keep people who have come out of the system, staying out of the system and being able to find employment. That's what we're. So, again, part of this, the Connecticut initiative to prevent community gun violence is finding ways to make sure that we secure funding and we secure regular funding for initiatives like that that are proven to be working. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. But I'm really excited about the speakers who are going to be at this policy luncheon. So, as I mentioned, we have Charlie. And I don't know, do you know Charlie Grady? You would love having him on the show.
I don't, but I'm thinking, Stephanie, we need to get him on the show. I already wrote the name down. I don't know him. We got to get him on the show.
I'm going to introduce you. He's fabulous. He's a playwright and an actor, and he's wonderful. Another one of our speakers is Tanya Sharp. And she's director of the Center for Research and Innovation for Black Survivors of Homicide Victims. She is at the University of Toronto. Yeah. And she studied and she's written extensively on trauma inflicted by gun violence on Black communities and also the impact of police victimization on Black people. So she's a very interesting person. Again, another speaker is a man named Chico Tillman. He's currently the executive director of the YMCA of Metro Chicago's Youth Safety and Violence Prevention Programs. But It's interesting. He spent nearly 17 years.
He's got a lot of work to do, let me tell you. He's got a lot of work to do. Chicago's not doing too well.
Well, I think hearing from him on the programs that are working in Chicago, right? So he spent 17 years in prison. And he has an organization, Cure Violence, that is focused like like Project Longevity and other operations. It's on de-escalating community disputes that have the potential to become violence. And he's using his experience to do that. So he's also, interestingly, he was awarded, among many other things, the 2018 Congressional Veterans Brain Trust Award for his work in Chicago. So he's terrific. So these three speakers are great, but I'm even more excited, if I could possibly be, that we're going to be joined by U.S. Representative Lucy McBath. She's, do you know who Lucy McBath is? She's
no,
a representative.
I don't know
Georgia
Lucy. Six. No.
She's fantastic. So she's a representative from Georgia's 6th Congressional District, and she became truly a champion and passionate advocate for gun violence prevention after her son, Jordan Davis, was murdered in a friend's car by a man who complained that they were playing their music too loud. So at that time, she left her 30-year career, and she was a flight attendant, and she became... she became the faith and outreach leader for Every Town for Gun Safety and Moms Demand Action. You're familiar with both of those wonderful organizations.
Yes, yes. And Mayor Bloomberg, former Mayor Bloomberg, started Every Town for Gun Safety.
Correct. Yeah. And then she ran for and became a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. And she actually, you know what? She was in Connecticut in 2016 for one of our panel discussions and a screening of a wonderful movie called The Armor of Light, which documented her efforts to bring an evangelical leader into the GVP, gun violence prevention world and fold. And it is fascinating to watch this man, Reverend Rob Schenck, wake up to the fact that, of course, gun violence is something that he should be, as an evangelical, something that he wants to be fighting for. And it's a fascinating movie. That's just an aside. I really want to get you to come and learn more about these things at our policy forum, Racial Justice Demands an End to Gun Violence. And I do hope everyone will go to our website, cagv.org, go to events and sign up to join us. It's going to be really fascinating.
Well, Melissa Kane, thank you very much. This was a great comprehensive overview. It's always been my thought, for whatever it's worth, that gun violence, has nothing to do with your partisan affiliation. If you're not against gun violence, I don't know where you're living under a rock. When a stray bullet shoots you, it has no interest in what political party you're nominated for.
And
we have seen with Newtown and these horrible mass shootings, and one week after another, the only respite we've had from school shootings is because there's been no school. Isn't that a pathetically sad thing to say?
That is pathetic. And what's interesting, something else that we are keenly focused on at CAGV is preventing gun death by suicide. And during the pandemic, calls to the suicide prevention hotline have been up, and purchases of firearms have been up. This is both in Connecticut and around the country. So we're very concerned about gun violence and the growth of gun violence in cities through suicide.
No, it's very I like the idea of what you're doing, and I think the recognition that no matter what you do with legislation, in a way, it's a Band-Aid. I'm not saying all legislation, but in a way, it's an after the fact, unless it's very specifically well thought out.
You have to have a baseline.
But going into the communities. Going in the communities and addressing. Correct. Yeah, it's a lot. Okay, it's a multifaceted issue with multifaceted dimensions to it. So thank you very much, Melissa Kane. So it's CAGV, Connecticut's Against, CAGV.org. Yes. And please on there, see where the events are, and get involved if this is your thing. Melissa Kane, thank you so much for being on the show. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you for having me. Have a wonderful day. Right. I really appreciate your letting me talk about this important subject.
Of course. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.